You here enjoy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. We've got Karina Way and Jackie Rees, both performers, and who are doing a show at the moment called A Little Night Music, which is a Stephen Sondheim musical.
It is indeed.
Welcome to the show. Now, ladies, we like to have a bit of a chat.
Ladies, oh.
Very official, thank you.
Now, we like to have a bit of a chat about your background and how you started and your interest and love for music and the arts. So maybe we'll start with you, Karina. How did you get started in the arts and musical theatre?
And you're so young that you must have been last year.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, that's so sweet of you to say. Actually, I don't know. I guess as a young kid, I did it at school a bunch. I did all the musicals at school and I did Annie when high school. And
right.
I just loved it.
How important is it doing, you know, like a musical at school? Because a lot of kids would think, oh, you know, that's a bit daggy, you know, like being part of the musical theatre group and whatever. Or was it really important?
It was important for me, absolutely. I mean, thankfully, I was part of a school that had both sport and art, so you didn't have to, you know, if you weren't a sporting kid, you had another option, which was great for me because if you saw me on a softball pitch, it's laughable. So, but it was really important for me and I loved it and I did drama and dance and, like, I can't play an instrument, but I loved and I did singing lessons there and I loved it. So that was my introduction.
And was that here in Melbourne?
It was, yeah. I went to Aquinas College in Ringwood. Hey, guys.
Right.
So it was super fun. And then it wasn't until I think it was grade 11, one of my teachers told me about WAPA and said, you know, have you heard about WAPA? Have you heard about VCA? Have you heard about NIDA? These are some things that if you're interested in musicals and performing that you should know about. And then I just sort of did the thing that everybody does, graduated and did all the auditions, and a couple of years later I got into VCA. I did the inaugural musical theatre, Bachelor of Musical Theatre.
Right.
Yeah.
And how'd you find it, especially considering if it was first time around?
Yeah, I loved it. I had an incredible time. It's that funny thing, I think, anyone who's been to drama school, you have such a love-hate relationship with it because it is that incredible immersive environment, but it's hard, you know. They kind of, you think you kind of know things going in and you're like, oh, in fact, I know nothing. So.
Do you know what? It's really quite interesting. And it was somebody that went to NIDA it was an actor we had on you four or five weeks ago, and he actually said that he was a smart ass in that period his life, and he thought that I'm not learning anything here,
yeah,
you know,
right.
I know it all. And then years later, and now he's directing as well, he said all the stuff that just keeps on coming back to him saying, yeah, and he said, what a fool I was. I obviously was learning so much, but wasn't taking it on board.
It's such a valuable experience, and I think it's so rare to have 3 years where you're just studying full time and you're around people who want to be there. You're in this creative environment. We thankfully had brilliant teachers, and I mean,
well, especially
it was just wonderful.
It was the, you know, like the first year.
Yeah, so it was just all of us all together through the whole 3 years.
Teachers, lecturers, and everyone would have been experiencing it with you.
Yeah, it was incredible. I loved my time at VCA. Yeah,
fantastic.
Sorry, and I have a question about that one. I mean, when you're actually doing the course, I mean, obviously you love the content. That's what you want to do. Do you sort of get involved in all of that while you're studying, or do you sort of think ahead a little bit about, you know, what am I studying for and what's going to happen after all that, or are you just enjoying the experience and all the stuff you're learning?
It was both. I had bright eyes and a massive bushy tail and just had the best time. So I threw myself into everything as much as I could and I had the most amazing time. And I lived, slept and breathed VCA. I just loved it. But then, yeah, afterwards it was a bit of a reality check because obviously it doesn't go the way that
you think it's going to go.
It's like, cool, it's 18 months and I haven't had a gig yet. What do I do now? Cool, I guess I just keep doing my day job to get some cash to pay my rent.
And I suppose I didn't want to be too presumptuous, but I assume for most artists' point of view that tends to happen because you don't always fall into work straight away.
No.
So did that sort of prepare you for that? I mean, were you sort of all, like you say, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed? And
I mean, we were told about it for sure. Okay. It was definitely drilled, not so much drilled into us in a negative way, but just we were definitely told, you know, it's a difficult gig when you get out, but, you know, I guess you never think that it's going to be you. You just sort of assume that you're going to get the job. I did eventually, and I've been working sort of off and on ever since. But, yeah, I loved it. And I think it's just good for life to have that experience to learn how to deal with people and communicate with people and learn what it means to be part of a company and part of a group of people that's just bigger than who you are as an individual.
Now, have you just done acting or musical theatre in this case, or have you ventured off into other sides of it?
Yeah, I was a TV presenter for, I do TV presenting also, and I'm a producer too. So I did, I was a producer and a presenter on a Channel 10 TV show for 18 months, and I loved that. I had an incredible time. Very different. I missed musical theatre. I missed that live aspect and having the audience there. And it's so special. I think I've always sort of taken it for granted, I guess, just assuming that relationship that you get when you're on stage and you're performing live. So, yeah, TV was a different ball game, but
totally different ball game.
Lots of fun.
Jackie, what about you?
Well, I've been in the industry for about, I hate to say it, about 45 years now. So totally different experience in some ways how I started, because I always did think I could sing. I could always sing. I'm from Wales. My dad sang. We used to sing.
The Welsh.
Yeah. It just happened. I think I remember singing before I could speak, you know. But I never thought of using, you know, having it as a profession. And when I moved to London, I was working in public relations, but I was living on a houseboat and
On the Thames,
wow. Ash Island,
wow.
Near Hampton Court. It was great. It was really good. But Hampton Court had a theatre company there, and I'd done bits and pieces of stuff at school and, you know, in Newport, where I came from, in Wales, you know. And
I noticed that you spoke differently. So if you're around Welsh people, you speak with an accent.
Oh, yes, love. And I've just come back now, you
right,
see.
So, it's still fresh.
It's still fresh now. Yeah, so...
Can you speak the... is it a Gaelic language?
It is a Gaelic language.
Can you speak it?
No, not really. Okay. I can tell you the name of a railway station.
Oh, that really long one?
Yes.
Go on.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Slanvairapulgwingith.
But
actually, I miss a bit in the middle. And
we would never have known.
Yeah, but so I just got involved with the Hampton Court Theatre Company, and it was beautiful. It was, you know, it was a cooperative theatre company. But I still didn't really think about making it as a profession, because I was working at the time in Fleet Street in PR, and that I wanted to be a journalist in PR. And then my husband at the time was a singer, and he was offered a contract out here for a year. And I said, okay, well, you know, I was a bit bored with what I was doing at that time in work. And I said, okay, I'll come out and I'll see if I can do something over there, you know. And that's what happened, actually. And it just... I got in a band for 2 months. I lied my way into an agency and told them I'd done work on Yorkshire Television and been to the Central School of Speech and Drama.
And it would have been in the days that they wouldn't have been...
It was a bit easier. They didn't check. There was no social media to check. It was fabulous. And then I worked in a kids' theatre company called Pageant for about a year, and I learned so much. That was professional. And then my first adult professional was Rocky Horror Show. I played Columbia.
Oh, God.
Yeah, when Reg did it.
Wow.
I did two shows with Reg, because we were the second. He did 6 months, and then half of the cast he left, and half the cast left, and we went in, and you know we went in as the other half of the cast. But I was in rehearsals for a week, and the Columbia was sick, and her understudy was sick, and they said, "You're on."
Oh my gosh!
Oh, it was terrifying. But I did two shows with him, so that was great.
Fantastic.
Fun.
I've just worked with him again, actually, because we just did My Fair Lady.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Did you do Melbourne, Sydney?
Sydney to begin with, opened at the Opera House, and then Brisbane, and then Melbourne.
We were in
Brisbane at the same time.
Were.
I didn't realise. And one of the girls in the cast was sharing with Corinne, but I didn't realise that. So
What a beautiful production that was.
Oh, wasn't it stunning?
It was absolutely beautiful. Magnificent.
We were chatting about that the other day, Jackie. Yeah. What was it that you were saying the costume designer did them all to replicate the original?
Well,
Broadway production?
It was actually Opera Australia and Gordon Frost.
John Frost.
John Frost, sorry. Sorry, John.
you're black man now.
Back in that time, yeah. They've been collaborating on a few musicals, and they came up with this idea of... I know, am I chatting too much?
No.
He just looked at the clock then.
let us worry about that.
Yeah, we've got to do things at certain times.
Okay.
Yeah.
They came up with the idea of it because it was the 60th anniversary of My Fair Lady. with Julie Andrews, obviously.
Yes.
So and they asked her to direct
I know.
It.
I know.
So it's just so insane. Hey,
excuse me, you're talking to a gay man. Yes. I know all about it that she... So did you meet her in Sydney?
Because
she didn't come on to...
well,
Melbourne.
We rehearsed with her.
Right.
So
what was that like?
Oh, I would die. Oh, dear.
It was fantastic. I mean, I always think I'm not a star
fangirl.
She was just amazing. She's such a legend, you know?
Oh, she is. And her experience in theatre.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
The biggest shame was that she didn't get the part of My Fair Lady, which was so wrong because she is a beauty.
Yeah.
And Audrey Hepburn got it over her because they thought she was better looking.
Interesting because she made it. I think her portrayal of it was I loved Audrey Hepburn in the movie because I love her anyway, but Julie's portrayal of it was so much feistier.
Yes.
Mm. And so much rawer, you know, more like a cockney who come up from the streets and everything.
Yeah.
And that's how she directed...
And was she generous with her experiences and her?
Yeah,
okay.
She was beautiful.
So obviously made it really very worthwhile.
Yeah, she was just. In fact, she called us all her family, you know, and she'd write to, you know, she'd say, Mum, you know, she'd say, write emails when she left saying, I miss you all, Mum.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Went to the opening night in Brisbane and everyone was seated and the lights were still up slightly and then she came in and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Julie Andrews. I just burst into tears. I couldn't contain myself. I didn't realise, she's Julie Andrews.
She wouldn't do it in Sydney because she knew the sort of reaction she would get. So when we opened at the Opera House, she wouldn't do it. She said, I'm not going to come into the audience because... And they persuaded her to do it in Brisbane, and I swear to goodness, it was like a 5-minute ovation.
It was incredible.
Before we even started the show.
It was like hysterical. The Queen was there. Yeah,
she is.
She is the Queen of Theatre.
You're on Joy 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine.
And we're talking to Karina and Jackie from Little Night Music, and we were talking earlier about your experience.
We haven't spoken anything.
I know.
Actually, we haven't talked about that. We're talking about everything else except that so far.
Julie Andrews.
Our producer will hate us.
I think our listeners would love this. So that's all right. Well, I'm loving it. Now, we were talking about your performance in My Fair Lady. Now, but you were saying that you guys had met in Brisbane at the same time, or something? You were both in Brisbane at the same time.
No, we actually met before because we were doing a production of The Importance of Being Earnest.
That's right.
And Karina was producing.
I was, yes.
And so
was
that
great.
The first
and I was
time
playing... What was her name?
Lady Bracknell. It was so much fun. So that was the first time Jackie and I worked together. Aww. And so it was such a joy to get the cast list for A Little Night Music and to be that we now got to work together as both cast members, which was super fun.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to seeing you again.
Yeah. Now tell us, Sondheim, which is so famous in musical theatre. So tell us about the company that are doing A Little Night Music.
Yeah, so Watch This are an independent theatre company that have been running, I believe, Sonia said, since 2012, I want to say. I'm sorry if that's wrong, Sonia. But the brilliant Sonia Suarez, she started this company with a couple of mates of hers because she noticed that there was a sort of a gap in the industry. There was a lot of independent theatre going on in terms of like straight theatre, but in terms of musicals, there wasn't a lot being offered. And so they are essentially a Sondheim repertory company. I'm really grateful. This is my second show with Watch This. I did Company a couple of years ago and it's just... It's really exciting. So A Little Night Music is such a beautiful show that we get to
probably
be a part of now.
Yes, would you say?
I think it probably is, isn't it?
Around to the musical theatre crowd, it's their favourite show for sure. Yeah.
It's got the most beautiful music.
It certainly
it's
has.
It's so lush.
Beautiful. But the characters are so quirky and it's so funny. There's poignancy in it. There's humour in it. There's... Well, up-to-date sort of stuff, really, with women, because the character I play, for instance, is a grandma. I'm at grandmother stage now. She made her fortune, if you like. She's a duchess now and has a chateau by being a high-class courtesan for kings and barons and everything. And her daughter is an actress.
Played by the lovely Nadine Gardner.
Nadine Gardner. And her daughter is, born on the wrong side of the blanket too.
Yeah.
You know? So they're independent women in a time in the time of Edwardian Victorian, where your character is a totally...
Anne Eggerman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, is a... Well, not a housewife exactly. She doesn't do any work, but she's...
But hold on. You look back on history, and there were a lot of powerful women and, you know, like real women's libbers even before the word was invented. You know, like...
But it wasn't the norm, though, was it?
Well, I don't know.
Really?
It's, you know, but it's always painted, in especially in film and in theatre a bit as well. But there are a lot of ballsy women, you know, like in history, wasn't there?
I suppose so.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's interesting. This so A Little Night Music is set at the turn of the century, so the 19th century. It's Sweden, and so there are these incredibly strong women as a part of...
And the Swedish are pretty, you know, like, you know, men and women, aren't they? You know, very positive.
Yes. So it's just a really interesting mix of social classes that are there and the various ages as well. I think it's Sondheim is so exceptional in the way that he writes about relationships and age and what that means to the characters for each other and what that means as an audience who get to experience that. And he's incredible, and the music is so lush and so stunning. And the quintet, for the majority of the quintet who play, essentially the narrators of A Little Night Music, are all classically trained and just absolutely stunning. We did a read through on our first day, did the overture, and they were just exceptional.
It was
so beautiful,
and they had all rehearsed, because we don't have much rehearsal. We have about 2 weeks rehearsal, so you have to basically learn everything before you get in. But they'd all, they sing as a quintet, but they'd all learnt their parts separately, and they come together, and when they came together on the first read through, it was unbelievable. It was, you know, goosebumps.
Oh, they really were amazing.
It was fabulous. And Sondheim is so, I mean, he's so clever, because everything is in the music, is in the script, everything for your characters. It's just all there for you, you know. And I did a production of Side by Side by Sondheim quite a few years ago now for Derek Nimmo.
Look at you.
No, I am name dropping today. Oops, Daisy. But this way, it wasn't in London. We rehearsed in London, but it was through the Middle and Far East. But I remember with Annie Ross. Do you remember Annie Ross from Lambert's Henrik Ross? But I remember every single night, I could not wait to get on stage, because you found something new every single night. And I think, I mean, we've only just started rehearsal, but you're just finding stuff all the time with him. It's just so, it's exciting to pull it apart all the time.
I think for the audience too, you can, I think it's like, it's, you know, when you read The Great Gatsby, and you know, whenever you read it across your lifetime, you sort of feel like you associate with one character and different parts of your life, because as your life changes, and same with Shakespeare. I think Sondheim is the same. And I think for this show particularly, there's so many different relationships and so many characters in various parts of their life. And I think everybody who comes to see the show will be able to connect with one or two characters specifically, because of where they are in their own lives. He's so clever in that way, that he makes it so accessible, and for, you know, the general public, if you will, but also for the theatre nerds that come as well, because there's so many Easter eggs to just find and pick apart, and it's such a joy. Mm. It's such a joy to rehearse his work.
Absolutely is. Now, it's not just here in Melbourne. For our Geelong listeners, and just east of the city as well, at the White House Centre. So you started off at Geelong Performing Arts from the 22nd to the 24th of Feb.
Yep. Good old GPAC. Then, thanks, guys.
Yeah. And then National Theatre down in St Kilda, around the corner from me.
Yeah.
28th of February to the 3rd of March, and the White Horse Centre, who do they've got their own very strong musical theatre group from the 8th to 11th of March. So it's nice that you're not just doing it for a week, isn't it? That you're getting a chance to do it over.
Because very often, I think, with, you know, an independent company, there's not always the funds, I guess, you know, to actually do a big performance a longer season, you know. So this is good.
And it's also important for us as an audience to have these shows instead of waiting for the big productions to come.
I think we're so I particularly as a performer, and I think the industry, well, I should say on my own behalf really, that I'm grateful that Watch This exists because when the big shows are on and there isn't anything else kind of happening, if you're not in that contract, this is such an exciting company to be a part of, who care about their performers. They care about the people, the audiences that want to see work that might not be interested in the bigger shows that are happening. And so it's a time to be alive.
Yes.
Sometime in independent theatre.
And what's the name of the theatre company again?
Watch This.
And of course, we are talking about A Little Night Music, sometimes probably the most well-known one. Or what other one would be better?
Follies, maybe, or
Follies
Company?
Or Company.
Company.
I just saw Follies in London. It was fantastic. Right.
Oh, I've been hearing, and it's coming onto the...
it is. They're going to film it. They're going to do a big...
For one day.
Yeah.
On
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for
having us.
Yeah. And can't wait to see you in A Little Night Music.
Great.
Thank you.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.